Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, William Remo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
I'm doing good, man. Glad to have you on the show, as always.
Thank you.
And equally important, you know, I want to thank you guys for tuning in for another episode of Sports Urban Legend. If you want to get your voice heard, feel free to call in. That's 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. And, of course, you know, on this show, we're going to be talking about the upcoming series with the Yankees and the Red Sox battling out for the 1,000th time in their history, seemingly. You know, we're also going to talk about the pay-per-view with Triple H versus Undertaker for the 1,000th time in their history. And, well, yeah, we're getting a trend here. It's a rivalry episode. It's the rivalry episode here. And we're going to talk about, you know, the Jets, battling Denver Broncos at home at MetLife Stadium. We're also going to talk about, we're going to preview Giants facing Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, and most importantly, the phone number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. And we're going to give you that Super Showdown pay-per-view event preview, our picks. So stay tuned for that. But you know what? Let's just dive into the Yankees baseball, and no surprise there. The Yankees advance. Stop me if you heard this before, but the Yankees got out of the first round, and they whooped the Oakland A's behind. You know, for a team that's supposed to be athletics, you know, they got whooped into shape by the Yankees, man, and it was even close. That game, man, last night, it just proves why, without a shadow of a doubt, I hate bullpen. Capital letters, bold letters, italics, underline it. I hate bullpenning, and this is why bullpenning is a dumb idea. I'm sure a lot of you guys listening, you're huge. 95% of you guys listening are huge sports fan, so you know what I'm talking about. But for the 5% who aren't into baseball or into sports and you just want to check it out, let me explain it to you. Bullpenning is basically normally you have a starter. That's the usually your top five best pitchers who begins the game, pitches at least five innings to qualify for the win, goes seven, maybe even completes the game at nine, which is a rarity nowadays. But nowadays, you know, with the bullpen is usually your not so great pitchers on your team, with the exception with the closer who ends the game. But bullpenning is just basically reinventing the wheel with a triangle. It may look nice, it may look flashy, but at the end of the day, it's not going to get you nowhere, because bullpenning, this is why Oakland lost the game from Jump Street. They started Luke Hendricks, a guy in the bullpen who doesn't even have a win this year. He has a losing record. I think he's 0-1 with like a 4 ERA. And they got this guy starting. They have all these bullpen people pitching. They didn't even have a starter. I mean, come on. They didn't even get up to a good start because they even have a starter on the mound. Are you kidding me? This is why baseball, in my opinion, has made some horrible moves. in the recent year. For one, interleague every single day. That's just, it's a joke. It really diluted the novelty of the interleague play that started in 97. Now it doesn't mean anything because you don't know, unless if you're watching the schedule, you don't know who you're facing. Back in the days, like in the late 90s, from 97 to like maybe 4 years ago, when you were like, I used to look forward to the interleague play because you'd have that 2 week period, like in June or July, where you're going to play for 2 weeks, you're going to fight like four or five teams and twice in your interleague rival. And then you play, since I'm a Mets fan, I have a National League team. We play DH for 2 weeks, and I think it's cool. You know, it gives it a little novelty. But nowadays, it's like 1 week you're in LA in Dodger Stadium. The next series you could be against you could be against Baltimore Orioles. And then, like, this past month, Mets was battling the Red Sox in Fenway, which I had no problem with that. You know, I thought it was cool, but it would have been good if they would have had all the interleague stuff all at once. You get it out the way, and then you deal with the regular season. You battle within your division. Now it's just a joke, and now it's a big. Now this whole bullpen thing is even worse than that decision. What's your thoughts on bullpenning and the Yankee series?
Well, the bullpenning, you know, the Rays took it to a whole new level this year by using it in a lot of games. Especially, it seemed like every time they pitched us, they were bullpenning. But I don't mind the bullpenning in the regular season, but when it comes to playoff time, I mean, you got to have your best pitcher out there. You know, you can't be using different middle relievers, you know, risking the game on trying to rely on them. And, you know, changing pitchers every two innings or so. So, I mean, I thought it was a dumb strategy, you know. I mean, I guess the A's thought that, you know, they could bullpen.
Smoke and river mirrors.
Yeah, I guess they could, you know, they thought it would, somehow throw us off. You know, different guys coming out of the bullpen throwing at different velocities and different speeds. And that might, you know, that probably could have held down the Yankees, but. I mean, the Yankees hit hard balls. That's what they do. You know, they hit a lot of home runs. So when you got guys coming out of bullpen throwing, you know, 95
plus,
Yankees are going to feast on that.
Exactly.
You know?
And I'm with you. The only way this would have made sense is if they had a knuckleball like Ari Dickey on the mound pitching. Well, I mean, he would have been pitching five innings, so it wouldn't be a bullpen game. But if you had somebody like people that are like so different, like, you know, you got Ari Dickey, who's a knuckleballer. You got, like Chad Bradford, like when he was pitching, a decade ago or so. You know, he was a submarine guy. Or Byung Kim. Well, wait a minute. That's not a good example because he doesn't do too good against the Yankees. So maybe, but you know what I mean, like a sidearm or someone. Like you have a different look. You got a hurler. You got a soft tosser. You got Tom Glavine, who's a control pitcher. You know what I mean? Like that would kind of make sense to me. But if everybody coming out of the pen is a right-hander throwing 95, 100 miles per hour fastball, and they can't have command of their other pitchers, like, I mean, it's the same thing. It's like facing nine versions of Armando Benitez, you know, different innings. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, the postseason is not the time to get fancy. I thought A's were trying to be too fancy there. They should, I mean, and I guess they didn't have a faith in their starting pitching, you know, where they had to rely on their bullpen, you know. But, yeah, I mean, Yankees took advantage of some of the guys out of their pen and scored, seven runs, including two home runs in the game last night. So,
yep. See, I hope A's learned a valuable lesson. When you try to get too cute, you might end up not getting asked to the prom.
Yeah. A's, to their credit, they had a good season. You know, they were a dangerous team. You know, but, yeah, it had to end that way, you know.
Yeah, I mean, credit to the Yankees, man. I mean, they did what they had to do, you know.
Yeah.
And this is going to go down as a blunder. You know, they're already at a disadvantage, you know, obviously payroll wise, you know, Billy Bean has always been, you know, he's been the father of Moneyball and, you know, getting people, you know, quality players at a budget, at a bargain rate. But this was, I mean, come on, man. They try to reinvent the wheel, and it just blew up in their face. Now they're saving their pitcher for game one of the ALDS, but he's never gonna pitch now until, you know, hopefully next year if they get that far.
You know. If they don't trade people during the offseason, knowing the A's.
Exactly. And who knows, there's rumors maybe even the Mets might try to lure him to be their GM, which I don't think is gonna happen, but I mean, he did play for the Mets briefly, but I don't see it happening. But, you know, we'll get into the Mets GM chase momentarily. But, to me, them, the Oakland A's bullpenning it, I mean, the bullpen thing just really jumped the shark. And to me, it's just as horrible as the Nationals, you know, basically shutting down Strasburg after he was having a career year, just so he won't pitch in the postseason, and, you know, he won't injure himself in the postseason. I mean, and now they still are reaping what they sow from doing that. You know, Bryce Harper most likely is going to leave. Strasburg is, you know, he's a phenomenal pitcher, but he's always injury prone. And it looks like it's an end of an era for the Nationals. You know, if Bryce Harper leaves them, which I assume he will, I assume he's going to either sign with the Phillies or the team he grew up rooting for. And of course, we all know who that team is because everybody wants to wear this team's colors. Would you like to take a lucky guess what team it is?
Oh, Bryce Harper?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Right now, I don't know if that's going to happen, you know?
Do you know what the name of the team it is that he grew up before he even played?
Well, I mean, yeah, of course it's the Yankees. We all know that, but
wow.
But here's the thing. Here's the problem with that, though. You know, Miguel Andujar might actually be better than Bryce Harper, you know? Miguel Andujar is having one of the best Yankee rookie season since Aaron Judge of last year. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
You know, it's a long time when they have good players. I mean, so few and far between.
Yeah, I mean, and wait, Bryce Harper, he plays right field, right? Or is it third base? I forget.
No, right field.
He plays right field, right?
Yeah. My memory served me right.
Yeah, so, I mean, and also, you know, with the Yankees, we have Aaron Judge, we have Aaron
Stanton.
Hicks. Stanton, so I don't think there's going to be room for Bryce Harper unless he wants to just DH. You know, so I don't see that happening. But, hey, maybe another New York team could get him, the Mets, if they spend money. You know,
nah, I don't,
but,
Mets spending money? Nah. Plus, I don't see him coming to the Mets. I mean, you know, he's our rival. You know, I don't see him coming.
That doesn't matter. I mean, you know. Money talks. If you offer a guy money, it doesn't matter if he's a rival or not.
True. That's very true. According to the Mets, Jeff Wilpon said a few days ago, you know, if the Mets do spend money, wink, wink, it will be, you know, it'll be based upon, you know, the who the new GM is and if they want to spend the money.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, they'll hire somebody, the best qualified person, you know, to lead the team. And they'll let them, spend the wallet, you know. Hopefully this is a person who has experience in the game, who has instincts. And basically, you know, he's not going to foolishly spend. You know, he can do some money ball, you know, like cost-effective moves, but not afraid to make that big splash, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of like Manaea was, you know, in the early 2000s, like 2005 or so when he signed Beltran and Pedro. I mean, Beltran was a great signing. Pedro, I mean, he pitched, I'd say, 2 out of the 4 years, but he was a leader on the team, you know. And then he, of course, made the trade for Delgado. You need a guy who has, you know, who wants to make a splash, the right splash, you know what I mean?
Right.
And get guys who aren't afraid by the bright lights of New York. Because if you can perform in New York, man, I mean, you're instantly a superstar.
Yeah, you definitely got that right.
So hopefully, whoever they get, that's the case. You know, there's rumors that they might get Gary LaRocque, who used to be in the Mets organization. I'm trying to think of who else they were looking into. Jim Duquette's cousin, Dan Duquette from the Orioles. Oh, yeah, Buck Showalter got fired, too. So Jeff Wilpon also said that, Mickey Callaway might still be fired if that's what the new GM wants. So as of right now, Callaway is penciled in, you know, to be the Mets manager. But as we all know, when you pencil something in, you could easily erase it with the eraser. So if they get a new, you know, GM, which 99% of GMs want to hire their own manager, because inheriting a manager who's a lame duck manager, you know, it's never a good situation, because the next year they end up firing the lame duck manager anyway. So
right.
I think the GM is going to want a clean house, and we'll see what happens with that. But let's shift gears with the Jets, and this weekend they're going to be hosting Denver at home. So man, they've been losing a lot of games, man. They've been losing three games in a row right after the season opener. So they really need to turn this around. What's your thoughts about this coming weekend?
They play the Broncos. Broncos haven't been lighting it up, and Broncos haven't been good defensively as they've been in the past, you know, several years. But Jets right now, I mean, the Jets look confused. I mean,
absolutely.
Darnold, after week one, Darnold has looked lost, you know.
Yep. He keeps getting progressively worse every week.
Yeah, I think they probably should have held on to Teddy Bridgewater.
That's what I was thinking too, from Jump Street. Before they even made the trade, I think they got a third round pick for him. I thought they could have kept him as insurance.
Yeah, or even have him. He should have probably started the season and let Darnold start maybe the second half, or you know.
Yeah, that would be
next season.
That could have been another option too. But at the very minimum, they should have had Teddy Bridgewater on this team just in case.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, Darnold, it's, you know, he's making a lot of mistakes, so he needs to get back on track. You need to find somebody to get him back on track.
And I think it's the offense, too. The offense is too conservative, man. They're not letting him, you know, take chances. I mean, he has that chemistry with Quincy. But other than that, you know, he needs to get, you know, acclimated with Robbie Anderson.
Yeah.
Because he's too predictable. I mean, that's his go-to guy, you know, and they've been working.
Yeah.
You know, they need to diversify the offense, because it's been horrible. It's been absolutely dreadful. And they made Bortles, man, look like a Hall of Famer, like he's Joe Montana or John Elway or somebody like that, man. Come on.
Bortles is, you know, he's not great, but he could be good, especially when he's given time. He'll light you up, you know. So he's a good quarterback. He's not great, but when he has some time to throw, you know, he'll tear apart a defense.
And he showed it. He definitely showed it, because it was not even close at all.
Yeah,
brutal,
I mean,
brutal game.
This week, the Jets just have to, you know, they're going to have to, the offense, man, they're going to have to mix and match some things, you know.
Get that
running
game
started.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, great minds think alike. I wish Bowles, you know, would have told the offensive coordinator about this, man, because they need to get that running gun offense going, that ground and pound offense, and then you know, throw some Hail Marys, you know, get the defense, you know, staggering a bit. Because
yeah, especially against the Broncos defense has been struggling so far.
Yeah. So they need to get their act together. Or this is going to turn to another tough day at the office for the young Darnold.
Yeah.
And shifting gears, the Giants, man, they're also going through a tough time too. They're going to try to avoid a 2-game losing streak when they face the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, you know, we need to get this game badly. You know, last game, I thought they came out real aggressive against the Saints, you know. You know, they scored first, the first touchdown. But then from there, you know, the offense just staggered. You know, they didn't do much. And the Saints just went wild in the second half. Adam Kamara, I think he scored, three touchdowns in that game, if I'm wrong, two or three touchdowns or something like that. So, you know, they just let that game get away from them, and, you know, the defense didn't look good in the second half at all. But neither did the offense. The offense didn't produce. Eli just, I don't know, man. He was getting protection, but he just wasn't making the throws that he should have. So, you know.
So, in other words, you're saying that the Saints came marching in on your defense.
Yeah. You know, and much more. You know, the offense didn't do much either, so hopefully, you know, they get something going in this game against the Panthers. But the Panthers, you know, they're a good defensive team, and you know, they have a lot of weapons. You know, they have, of course, Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey at running back, you know, and their wideout. So they've got weapons. So, you know, this is gonna be another tough game.
And that, most definitely, man. You know, the Giants need to get their act together, man. You know, they're going to be facing Cam Newton. You know, a guy who was in the Super Bowl just a few years ago. So,
yeah.
You better hope he don't have a game like that. So, shifting gears, before we talk about the WWE pay-per-view event, I don't know if you heard that the Knicks, you know, prospect, Mitchell Robinson, he sprained his ankle. The last game, I think it was yesterday.
Oh, man.
He was playing well, I mean, lately. He was playing well. He got injured early. So far, I mean, the Knicks, I think they're undefeated in the preseason. They beat Wizards and Nets so far. Obviously it's preseason. And, you know, the Knicks' dream of having Kyrie Irving looks like it's going up in smoke, as, you know, I feared, because, you know, Kyrie Irving apparently told Celtics season ticket owners that he intends on re-signing with them. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if and when he signs on the dotted line to re-sign, which makes a lot of sense. You know, you got that storied franchise with the Celtics, second only to the Lakers, even though Celtics does have one championship more than their longtime NBA rival. But, you know, it's going to be tough. If Kyrie Irving, I mean, he was still in Cleveland, or, you know, he was on another, like, small-town type team, I could see him, you know, making the jump from, you know, a small-market team to, you know, to the Knicks, to New York.
Right.
But Celtics is, you know, as close as you could get to New York.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, if he could do well in Boston, he could definitely do well in New York. But, he got a definitely a ready-made team in Celtics, a young nucleus. So, yeah, it doesn't look good that he's gonna make the jump to New York,
right?
And take that step back. So, it is what it is. Oh, but one more thing about the Knicks. They recently had a pep talk by Patrick Ewing, you know, the new Georgetown head coach, you know, playing for coaching his alma mater. And basically it was Fizdale's idea because, you know, he wants to link the history with the current team, you know, so they can embrace, like he said, you know, the DNA of the Knicks, you know. So, you know, Knicks definitely, they desperately need to reestablish their identity of being a defensive-minded team. And what came as a result of that in the 90s and in the 70s, and I guess you could even say in the 50s as well, when they went to three straight NBA finals those years, that they have a history of winning. They may have a lot of losing seasons sandwiched in between, but they've had some success in the postseason. Unfortunately, they only have two titles to show for it, but, you know, Knicks are one of the storied franchise in NBA history. Obviously, they've been on a lot of hard times for nearly 20 years, but Knicks got to reestablish their history.
I thought that was definitely cool for them to get Ewing to give them that pep talk, you know? Have some...
Yeah.
Those Knicks veterans, because I know, you know, the Knicks usually they'll have someone like Larry Johnson or in the past Oakley or Sprewell. You'll see guest appearances and cameos from them at the Garden, but and sometimes you hear them like talk to players or go in the locker room. But having Ewing, who was like the franchise, you know, for the Knicks for like, you know, what, 15 years around here. Yeah, and have them talk to the guys. I think that's great. You know, they got to do more of that.
Absolutely. And he said that he is looking forward to doing more of that, you know, because, you know, Ewing is, you know, he's not a coach in the NBA. So obviously he's a head coach with Georgetown. So he, you know, he's free to, you know, give advice to his former team. You know, because it's not like a collusion type thing that he's talking to, you know, another NBA team, you know, while he's still under contract by another NBA team. So
Right. Now
he's free to do so. And they're going to reach out to other players, former NBA players, you know. Hopefully, I wish Oakley down the line. But, you know, with the relationship with the Knicks right now, that's not going to happen anytime soon. But, hey, you know, Fizdale looks like he's the guy who could potentially, you know, bridge that gap,
right?
Hopefully. But we'll see what happens with that. But, let's shift gears to Super Showdown, the WWE pay-per-view event that's going to go down on this Saturday morning. You know, if you wake up early, I think it starts at 5 a.m. on Saturday. But
no, is it really 5 a.m.?
Yeah, I ain't waking up that early to see.
I'm going to have to watch the replay.
Yeah, for sure. Because, it's going to start 5 a.m. because it's in Melbourne, Australia. Let's just dive right into the show. Becky Lynch, the WWE SmackDown Women's Champion, versus Charlotte Flair. I'm picking Becky Lynch to win the title, even though it is foolish of me to pick against Charlotte because every time she's in the championship match, she always wins. So I'm probably, after Saturday, I'm going to be kicking myself, like, why didn't I play it safe? But I think it's a little too early for them to take the title off her hands, because, you know, she's at a all-time popularity, and she's always been a fan favorite. So it'd be a dumb idea from WWE to take the title off her hands right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think Becky Lynch is going to win it. I think it's too early for her to lose the title. So I'm gonna go with Becky Lynch on that one.
Yep. I think probably right now it might happen at Evolution or Survivor Series, but
We'll
see what happens with that. Then you have Asuka and Naomi versus the Iconics, which is, of course, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, in a tag team match. Obviously, the Iconics, they're Australian. you would think they'd have a home field advantage, but seeing how their heels and, you know, their mid-carders and, you know, people who are hometown heroes usually lose, especially when they're good, when they're, you know, good, even though in this case, you know, the Iconics are villains. I think Iconics will lose.
I agree. I think they're going to lose as well.
And not to mention they're facing Asuka.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't mean it's tough to, but, you know, Asuka's been undefeated for a while, even though after WrestleMania, she's been humanized a bit, but I think she's still good.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I think she's going to win as well.
And then you got the Bar, which is Cesaro and Sheamus battling the 5-time WWE SmackDown champions, The New Day. And, of course, you know that's Big E, Xavier Woods, and Kofi Kingston. And, of course, the tag team title is on the line. I could see it going either way, but I think New Day is going to hold on to it just this one more time.
Yeah, but me too. Yeah, I don't think they're going to lose it, so I see them holding on to the titles.
All right. And, a notable note, I should say. Try saying that 5 times fast. You saw SmackDown when the Bar poured pancake batter on Mr. Bootsworth, their butler.
Right.
SmackDown?
Right, yeah. Uh-huh.
Guess who Mr. Bootsworth is?
Well, a past character?
No. He is Dewey Foley, Mick Foley's son.
Oh.
Yeah, I found this out yesterday. When I researched, I'm like, wow, I never knew it was him. Cause I'm like,
wow.
What? This dude is like, this shit, he's not even selling it. I'm like, he's there on this camera, you know, this camera time. It never, occurred to me. Like,
so the same son that was, I don't know. Actually, I think the daughter was crying when Undertaker threw Mick Foley off the cage. Off the Hell in a Cell. But the son was there too with the mom, I remember.
I think so. And I think they were present at the Beyond the Mat. You know, when Rock and Mankind had that hardcore match where The Rock hit him
gave him
13 chair shots. I think he was there too. I think he was there too, if I'm serving me right. And now he's in WWE, so congratulations with him, you know.
Wow.
I heard that he works behind the scenes. I think he's one of the writers, but it's good to see, Foley's, baby boy's son, following after his father's footsteps. So,
yeah.
Moving on, there's Cedric Alexander versus Australian native Buddy Murphy. For the Cruiserweight Championship. I could see it. I would normally pick Cedric Alexander, but then again, who knows? Maybe they might make an Australian guy, even though he's a villain, maybe they might make him win to change it up. Because as of right now, it looks like the titles are not changing hands right now. So why not? I'm gonna do something. I'm going to pick Buddy Murphy to win the Cruiserweight title.
Wow, this is a tough one. I'm gonna go with Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, I don't blame you. He's been the incumbent champion. I think he's won ever since Enzo Amore had to, vacate the
forfeit.
Title. Alleged of rape, which apparently he was exonerated of it. The charges.
Right.
Not to mention he had heat backstage, so that also contributed to his release. Then you have AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe, and of course this is a no count out, no disqualification match for the WWE Championship. I've been I've been thinking Samoa Joe is going to win the title. But maybe AJ Styles is going to retain it one more time. And then he's going to most likely face the winner of the Miz-Daniel Bryan matchup. But I think AJ Styles is going to hold on to it one more time. What about you?
Yeah, I think AJ is going to retain it. If Samoa Joe wins it, it'll probably be a Survivor Series.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. That's exactly what I'm thinking. That's what he's going to, or the Saudi Arabia thing. But most likely, realistically, it will be Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Then you have Bella Twins, Brie and Nikki, and Ronda Rousey versus the Riot Squad. Liv Morgan, I don't think she's going to be in the match because she got a concussion from Brie Bella a few weeks ago. So I don't think she's going to be in the match. Of course, you know, Ruby Riott and Sarah Logan's going to be there. And, I mean, come on, let's face it. Ronda Rousey is going to win. So that's that anyway.
I think
unless if Nikki costs her the win and turns heel, that's the only way I could see Ronda Rousey not winning. But I think Rousey's going to win.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Bella Twins and Ronda Rousey. I think they're going to win that match.
Yeah. I think Nikki's going to turn on her eventually, but I think they're still going to get this W, so.
Yeah.
Up next, you got The Shield, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins versus the Dogs of War, which is Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, and Drew McIntyre. Six-man tag team match. Obviously, Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre's tag team titles is not on the line, of course, but I could see this going either way. I mean, obviously, I'm leaning towards picking The Shield, but then again, Braun Strowman is desperate for a win, you know, because WWE has been killing his momentum at the expense of trying to get Roman Reigns over for the past 4 years. So, right, it would make a lot of sense for Braun Strowman to win because Braun Strowman has been taking a lot of L's versus Roman Reigns. Yes, I'm counting the disqualification inside a Hell in a Cell match, which doesn't even make sense. I'm counting that as an L because it was a draw, and of course, as you know, a draw goes to the reigning champion. So I'm counting that as an L for Braun Strowman yet again. What about you?
I'm going to go with The Shield to win this. I think they'll win this, and then Braun Strowman will probably blame the loss on Dolph Ziggler again, and you'll eventually see Strowman and McIntyre turn on Ziggler.
Mm-hmm. They're going to be here to show the world that beatdown.
Yep.
And speaking of beatdown, Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. And, yeah, I've been picking Daniel Bryan to win all these times. And I haven't learned my lesson, so I'm picking Daniel Bryan to win and finally get a meaningful victory and become the number one contender against either AJ Styles or Samoa Joe for the WWE Championship. So I'm picking Daniel Bryan. What about you?
I would love to pick Daniel Bryan in this spot, but I think it's going to be The Miz. Seriously, I think it's going to be The Miz, and I think, you know, they're probably going to have The Miz challenge AJ Styles or probably some type of triple threat, AJ Styles, Miz, Samoa Joe, something like that.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I wouldn't be surprised about that. Then you got my man, Bobby Lashley, as Leo Rush calls him, John Cena versus Elias and Kevin Owens, two men who are banned from Seattle for life after that promo they hit on them when they basically dogged on the Seattle fans for losing the the Seattle Supersonics, and they booed for at least 5 minutes straight, which I've never seen a reaction like that ever. I mean, I've seen fans boo. You know, you say, okay, that team, your team where you're at, your team stinks. You go boo, and then they're just doing all of, you know, Elias's catchphrases, who wants to walk with Elias, you know, and all that stuff. But they were legit PO'd, man. They booed. I've never saw anything like that. I've seen people boo, but never like that before. They, the Seattle Supersonics fans, Seattle fans were PO'd because rightfully so. They lost their team for no reason because of greed. And, you know, even though I'm a Seattle Supersonic fan, I'm with them because the Supersonics actually won a title with them in 79. You know, they loved that team. The 90s, they had Sean Kemp and Gary Payton. That was a great NBA team. There's no way they should have moved that team. To me, if a team is successful, you know, they have a huge fan base like the Hornets in the 90s, even though they didn't win a title as of yet, they should always keep that team in town. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me, even though I know it's money driven. What's your thoughts about the whole scenario?
That was hilarious, you know, for the audience to get on them like that, you know. But they, Kevin Owens and Elijah did a good job of, you know, talking over the crowd and getting them to boo even more loudly, you know. And a lot of heat on them right now. So.
Oh, yeah.
But it's entertaining.
Imagine that this pay-per-view event was at Seattle. Dude, that would be even more interesting.
I know, yeah. That would be crazy.
I wonder what's going to happen next time they go to Seattle if this is gonna linger. That'd be really cool. That'd be really cool if that happens.
That might.
And then last but not least, you got the game, Triple H, with the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels,
The Undertaker.
And of course, Kane. And this is a single match. And yeah, I'm just going to cut to the, go straight to it. Triple H will win, finally beat Undertaker, because it's been a while. He hasn't beat Undertaker probably since the Attitude Era. And these three WrestleMania bouts, Triple H has, you know, been eating L's by the dead man. So this is his time to get that W. And this is why I thought from the jump street. When I heard that they were bringing this match up, I'm like, yeah, this is for Triple H to finally beat Undertaker, which has been a while. What's your thoughts?
I think Triple H will win. Although I didn't think this match is a waste. I mean, we've seen it thousands of times before, but I guess one last time, you know. But yeah, Triple H is going to win. I agree with you on that.
It'll be an end of an era again.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shawn Michaels will most likely fight Undertaker if he does come. But Mac, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I want to thank you guys for listening to this episode of Sports and the Legend. And hopefully I'll see you guys next week. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramon. And I'll see you guys next time. Peace. Ah.